Howdy, Stu Smith here, going live. How are you guys doing? I'm taking some questions, but as you guys congregate, I'm going to chat a little bit about rucking. And believe it or not, people are rucking for fun. What? Now, if you've ever been in the military and you've been paid to ruck as part of your paycheck, meaning like infantry, Marines, and Army, Rangers, SF, all those guys that really ruck for a living, you probably don't want to pay money to go rucking for your exercise. And I don't blame you. But there's a lot of civilians out there that have not served and are finding rucking to be a very useful way to burn some calories. So real quick, let me give you my, top 7 or 8 things that you should consider if you want to add rucking to your fitness world. Whether you're just a walker and you want to make walking a little harder without running, rucking is a good way to do it. Or if you want to add rucking to your leg days, it's another thing that you can top off a leg day with. So first thing, walk, don't run, right? If you're a beginner to rucking, it's not a running exercise, just walk. If you want a goal, try to set a 15-minute mile pace. So 4 miles an hour is a good standard pace. In fact, that's a minimum standard for most rucks in the military. Start light is another piece of advice. Typically, if you lift, you could probably handle anywhere between, probably 10% of your body weight. And if you're new to rucking, that's not too much. 200-pound guy would, 10% of your body weight, 20 pounds? It's pretty easy. However, if you're new to it, just start off with 10 pounds. See how it feels. Add 5 pounds every few weeks. See how that feels. Once that gets easy, keep on adding weight and probably maybe find a good steady goal weight of somewhere between, 15 and 25% of your body weight is probably a good goal to reach, but be progressive about it just as you would any running program. Be progressive with your distance and time that you are rucking as well as the weight you are adding. So start short. If you only walk 30 minutes a day, you want to try adding rucking to that. Maybe try 5 minutes of that ruck or that walk as a ruck. Build up to 10 minutes. Every other week, maybe add 5 minutes. Next thing you know, you're rucking for 30 minutes. Then you can start thinking about how to do this more often in the week. Like, I personally don't think you should ruck daily. I typically will add rucking to our leg days, as it is a great way to top off a leg day. And if you don't like the impact of running, you can put on a big pair of scuba fins and swim with fins to top off a leg day. That's another thing that we like to do. So my advice would be start off with 1 or 2 days a week and build up just as you would progress with your weight and your time. Start to add days like every month. So, as long as you're progressing logically, I think that's easy. And then some guy, you can build up to daily rucks once you're an established rucker. Good shoes and boots. You get what you pay for. I typically like to run, or I like to ruck in shoes that I run in. However, I don't use them for running shoes. So I'll buy the same pair of running shoes that I'll ruck in, or buy a good pair of walking shoes that I like the Zero walking shoes. Great for trail running, great for walking, great for putting on a ruck. Otherwise, if you're going to go in unstable terrain, I would definitely get a good pair of boots. And once again, you get what you pay for. There's some expensive boots out there, but probably well worth the extra money. You could buy a pair of military issue boots. They're okay. Just remember, sometimes those boot contracts go to the lowest bidder. But if you're looking for a good company that sells good boots, I would say Morrell, Danner, or Salomon, typical go-to high-end, hiking boots, get a good backpack. Or if you want to start off with a weight vest, that's a great way to start off as well. Military style backpacks, you know, typically have good shoulder straps, a waist strap, a chest strap, you know, have a good high pouch so you can put your weight up high versus letting it sink down to your waist. Let me see. Don't forget weight. You know, some people think, hey, I just put a dumbbell in my backpack. See what happens. Well, you're going to find that it's grinding on your ribs and maybe even on your spine. So maybe not put hard metal in there without being really padded. I personally like using just a sandbag. So go by the hardware store and buy the sand that you would fill up a kid's sandbox with. It's called Play Sand. Probably get it for $4 or $5 for a 50-pound bag. And then you can make your own little sandbag out of it by cutting a little hole in it, you know, dropping 10, 15 pounds, whatever weight that you want it to be, and then just duct tape it. Get a couple of rolls of duct tape and just duct tape that baby, compress it a little bit. Next thing you know, it's fitting real nicely in your pouches, in your backpack, and not grinding on your back, which is the big key. And I have to give a shout out to GoRuck, because you can't talk about rucking without GoRuck, because I would say out of any company out there, they're putting rucking on the map for civilians and making it a fitness genre in itself. So the guys over at GoRuck, you know, hats off to those. They build good rucks. They got nice plates that fit into those rucks, and, you know, they put on rucking events all over the world. You know, and it's very social. So you could get a lot of great things done with a ruck. You can get outside, enjoy nature, work a little harder than walking, build some strength, burn more calories than walking, and be social with it all at once. So that is my tips for rucking. People ask me all the time about rucking. I'm not a master at rucking. I've added it quite often. In fact, where we add it here in our training is we do something called the Spec Ops Triathlon, which is typically a 4-mile run, a 4-mile ruck, and a 1 or 2 mile swim with fins. And in fact, we're doing one this next month. Actually, this month in October here in Maryland, and all soft sand beach. It's a good one. That's why we call it the Spec Ops Triathlon, because those are three methods you will be using in your military world for transportation, and rucking's just the truck version of it. So, all right, let's see what kind of questions we have. I don't think I have any comments over here on YouTube, but over on Instagram, I'm talking to Instagram too. Looks like, hey Stu, can you post some content on shin stretches, exercise to prevent shin splints on buds? I got a couple of articles on shin splints. In fact, if you do shin splints, Stu Smith in a Google search, I know there's two articles on recovering from them. And then, you know, there's some ankle mobility exercises I like to do when swimming to get ready for swimming with fins. And those also help stretch the shins. So basically, you're just sitting on your shins, trying to put your butt on your heels, getting straight. You can lean back a little bit further. You might have seen some of those pictures that I do on Instagram on mobility days. That's a really good stretch that helps with ankle mobility that can definitely help with your shins stretching. What's the daily PT of a midshipman? Well, that depends, because there's a lot of midshipmen, at least here at the Naval Academy, and there's midshipmen all over the place, by the way, you know, in different colleges, ROTC programs. So it will vary a thousand different ways. You know, some midshipmen do the very minimum and just pass the PRT. That's fine. They need to stay in a certain level of conditioning, and that's what they do. Now, when you're a freshman, you get told when to exercise quite often. And, you know, you during the summer, it's kind of like boot camp. You'll get dropped and you'll do group pep, you know, physical education. We call it pep here, PT, group PT. And you'll do countless reps of calisthenics and running. So it gets up there. I would say it's pretty similar to this program right here, calisthenics and cardio, right? I get a lot of my ideas from group PT in there, things that we do pretty consistently at the Naval Academy and our local group here with calisthenics. Because with large groups, it's typically calisthenics and sandbags, just like those sandbags I was telling you about, how to make them. They work pretty well making those sand babies. In fact, I think every freshman has to make their own sand baby, we call them. So you're going to do a lot. What do you think about biking with a rucksack? Bike to work with 30 pounds. That makes no sense. I mean, I guess if you got to carry stuff, like work equipment and clothes, that's one thing. But I think the only thing that it's going to do is it might work your core a little bit more because you're having to hold the weight on your torso. But it's not doing anything for your legs or your cardio. It's just biking. So I ride a bike with a backpack often, but I ride my bike to a pool where I'm going to swim, pull out my fins, pull out my mask, do my swim workout, change clothes, you know, get dry, put all my dirty clothes in my backpack and ride home. So that would be a useful tool in certain situation, but I wouldn't call it an additional calorie burner. Now, if you want to do it on a stair stepper, that is the way to go. In fact, you can Google stair step weight vest workout, put my name in it, and you'll see a great one. All right, here's a good question. What's your opinion on pre-workout and other supplements like that? I don't recommend it. You know, especially if you're doing a lot of high reps and cardio workout, where you get really winded naturally, the last thing you want to do is go into those things with a high heart rate or an elevated heart rate, because you can be almost anaerobic before you even start running. I don't think they're very helpful. So now, if you're just lifting and you go do two reps and you go sit for 5 minutes, in between that rep and the next rep, you know, that's a different story. It can be useful in that situation. But, you know, unless you're a power lifter, I don't see a need for it. You know, some of that pre-workout is just crazy high with caffeine. There are people who die from elevated heart rates, basically have a heart attack, doing a simple PFT. You can Google that. There have been midshipmen die from too much caffeine taking a normal fitness test, and that's push-ups, sit-ups, and a mile-and-a-half run. So don't do it. Now, if you just need to stay awake later on in the day, hey, do what you can. You're doing a night shift, take some caffeine, but I don't see where there's a use for it. In fact, when I see people misusing a particular supplement and they get full body cramps or they have a like heart situation, I immediately just shut it out. Because what typically happens when people use supplements? They're stupid and they misuse it. They say, oh, maybe I'll take more of these vitamins or whatever, more of this powder, and I'll be better. No. No, you won't. Let's see. Got to take one more question over here on Instagram. I mean, show me some information on a 30-pound backpack bike ride and how that is. I mean, I guess it adds a little weight to the bike, but I don't know. I'm not seeing it. I'd like to see some science on how many more calories you're burning and how much harder it is than just biking alone. Like I said, you might put on some core activity, but I doubt there's a whole lot more. All right, next question. Looks like Stu Abbott, ace the CFT, Special Forces Guide. I'm in the process of joining the Army right now. Thank you for this workout. Oh, thank you. DJ Shipley sent you. Oh, that's nice of him. Good fella. We have a guy who can't pass the police PFT. Thought pre-workout would get him over the top. Ended up in the hospital twice. Damn! Yeah, don't do that. Oh, my God. That's so bad. You know, and here's another thing, too. You know, if you haven't worked out with certain foods or drinks or anything, the last thing you want to go do is the day of or an hour before a test or a race or whatever, you try something new. Because guess what? You're probably going to be crapping your pants or throwing up in the middle of it because your body, you don't even know if your body can even handle it. And worst case, you have heart issue and have to stop because you're either passed out or dead. So, damn. Yeah. Don't do stuff just because you think it's going to be helpful. You know, once you learn if it's helpful or not. For instance, you know, people use the goo, like a high carb goo to try it, but they've never done it before in regular workouts, but then they go do it in a race and then they have diarrhea in the middle of the race. Well, you would have learned that that wasn't the best idea if you'd have practiced training with it, right? So don't do anything new the day of a test or day of an event, because chances are your digestive system will not enjoy it. Your easy meals have been awesome for a young guy living on his own. Props for that idea. Hey, I'm going to keep doing it. I just tend to not have a wide variety of ideas. I thought I'd put a chili up there, you know, but I tell you what, man, you go with spaghetti and meatballs, those burrito bowls, man, those are awesome. I actually made 9 burrito bowls the other day for 3 dudes who were visiting, and, they liked them so much. So I think they're just as good as Chipotle. And you can make, I think I can make 3 burrito bowls for the price of 1 at Chipotle. So if you're pinching a penny, learn how to make burrito bowls. I'm telling you, they go a long way. And make a big thing of spaghetti and meatballs real easy. Next thing you know, if you don't want a spaghetti, you can make a meatball sub. Good stuff. Good stuff for the hard gainer. All right, another question over here from Patrick. Training for TACP. Trying to get better at swimming and learn. I struggle a lot with breathing. I don't see a question in there, Patrick, but keep practicing. My advice is get on that 50-50. One, first learn the technique. Send me a video. I'm happy to critique it for you. I do that as just part of what I do. And you can go to my YouTube channel, my Instagram reels, or my TikTok, and you'll find countless videos of me critiquing people swimming. You might see something that you're doing. First, get yourself a video of yourself and see what you're doing right or wrong. You might be able to correct it yourself, but send it to me. Happy to teach you some of the nuances of the stroke and be real nitpicky to make you gain a few seconds per length. And next thing you know, you've dropped a minute, maybe 2 minutes off your swim time, and you know, you're moving pretty well. So there's 2 things. You got to get the technique right, and you have to get in condition for swimming. I don't care how great runner you are, it's different than swimming. Swimming shape is a whole new animal. Here's another question. Let's see. So I'm, by the way, I'm over here on Instagram right now, live, and YouTube and my Facebook pages too, all at the same time. So got my phone over here, got my desktop over here, going on to the other channels. So it, I know this will be on a, guess it'd be on my reel, so you'll be able to go find it over there on Instagram, but it's also on YouTube. All right, here's the next question. My cardio is really good, but I'm trying to put on 10 pounds and increase my strength before a contract go to buds. You know, that's what we're doing right now. I got a couple of guys trying to do that. What's your recommendation on what to eat to increase weight and strength? All right, so here's my plan for you. What we do in our fall, I don't think I have a, might have it in here somewhere. What we do in our fall training cycle is we warm up, or in winter lift cycle, we warm up with calisthenics, right? So you're maintaining your calisthenic scores, your pull-ups, your push-ups, if it's an upper body day, squats and lunges on a lower body day. So we warm up with those. And then we lift, focusing on those same muscle groups. So we'll do bench. We'll still throw in push-ups in there and weighted pull-ups. You know, things like that, good hard, heavy push pull. And then on the back end, we'll cool it down with some cardio. And that may be a run, a fast pace. So not a long distance run, but just good goal pace running. And then may swim with fins if it's a leg day, swim without fins when it's an upper body day. Just keep that conditioning going. But when you add that extra cardio, you have to also add in more calories. Real easy ways to do that: get some peanut butter, take a scoop, eat that 3 times a day. Next thing you know, you've added 500 calories to your day. Real easy. The other one is portions. You're going to need bigger portion control. And when I say control, I mean lack of control. Just eat. You know, those burrito bowls are good, spaghetti and meatballs. You know, pretty much all those little food videos I made are made for the hard gainer. My son was a hard gainer. He's gotten to kind of where he wants to be now. He could probably still put on 10 or 15 pounds during a lift cycle if he wanted. So I'm kind of created those posts I did on Instagram with the hard gainer, the guy who works out really hard and burns a lot of calories, needs extra calories at an affordable price, right? So check out some of those food videos I posted last few weeks, and that may be a helpful option for you. But pretty much add a scoop of peanut butter and banana sandwich after every meal. Next thing you know, you've added a 500 to 1,000 calories in your day. Even though you're burning some extra calories, it'd probably balance out and have somewhere between a 500, maybe 600 caloric surplus at the end of the day. If you can do that for the whole week, next thing you know, you gained a pound. And after a winter lift cycle of 10 to 16 weeks, you've gained somewhere between 12 and 15 pounds. That's pretty typical with the guys that are training with us. But yeah, check out the winter lift cycle. It will help you. Any of my winter lift cycles that I have online will help you with building mass, maintaining your fast run pace, because you're not running far, you're just running fast, and it'll help you maintain your calisthenics and swimming as well. But you got to eat to do it. If you want to be big, you got to eat big. All right, next question. I was wondering, when you do a lot of endurance exercises, run, bike, calisthenics, or high rep, do you think the high carb diet is detrimental to health on long term? No. No, I love high carb diets. In fact, when I eat carbs, that's fruits and vegetables. I don't eat sugar. So you got to differentiate what a carbohydrate is, because yeah, simple sugar is in the category of carbohydrates, but don't eat junk, you know, that just has some sugar in it. You know, actually eat good, nutritious carbohydrates that have everything in it, from fiber to minerals, vitamins, even protein, right? So, yeah, good carb diet, good high carb diet. That's what I'm on right now, actually, and I'm losing weight on it. What's the best rucking backpack for Air Force Special Warfare? You know what? I don't know. That's a good question. I would go to Google first and see what they say. They may have a particular pack they like to use. I will say most military units use either the Alice pack or the Molle pack. Molle. In fact, rucking backpack. I wrote an article a while back on the three backpacks. What type of rucksack should you get for training? In fact, I'll put this link in the YouTube thing. So you got a couple of different ones. You got the Alice pack. You got the Molle pack. And the IBLE, which is basically just load bearing. So check these out. This might give you some ideas on the backpack. I don't know about the specific one they issue for Special Warfare. I guarantee you the guys over at One's Ready will definitely help you out with that one. How do I feel about taking creatine leading up to selection? I don't recommend it. I think it's great. I think people have misused that. I was in that bandwagon of like, don't do it, because I've seen it in Spec War Dreams. And what I mean by that is, you get these athletes who are on creatine during the season. They come out to these Spec War selections, pre-selections, this specifically at the Naval Academy, and they couldn't finish because they double cramps in their legs, torso, full body cramps. It was just misused, and that was in the 90s. And it didn't get much better until probably the 2010 range, when people really started saying, hey, we need to add a lot more water if you're going to be using this as like endurance type training, because people are overheating, they are dehydrating, they are cramping. So it was misused in that sense. Now it's getting better. People are saying even creatine. I read a study recently that creatine even helps with long COVID if you are having some lung issues post-COVID or pneumonia-type issues. So it's a great supplement, and we all need it. But you get it in your steaks. You get it in your meats and proteins. So you may not need that much of it. And I don't recommend getting hooked on anything that you think you need, because when you're going through selection, you won't be able to use it. Next thing you know, you got this psychological crutch thinking, oh, I'm so weak now because I'm not on creatine. Or I lost 10 pounds because I'm not on creatine. Just don't even get on it. Eat peanut butter. Just eat well. Is there a tattoo policy for the SEALs? There is. I just don't know it. I'm sure you can Google it and figure it out. But my thing is, it's the same. The tattoo policy for the SEALs is the same as the Navy. Like, the Navy recruiters will be able to tell you what that policy is. And it's a simple Google search. You can find it. Haven't ran in years, but yesterday I was able to, for a little, hey, good job, man. Keep it up. You should be crushing the PFT before even going to talk to a recruiter. Yes. Good advice, William. Good advice. Could you give some advice on regarding breathing while running? I feel like if I happen to use my abdomen more, I breathe a lot better and run a lot faster. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you want deep breathing. This has been talked about for decades, and you can find countless articles on breathing during any physical activity, whether that's swimming, whether that is running, rucking, lifting, doing high rep calisthenics. Somebody has a recommendation on how to breathe. I personally, when it comes to running, I like to be in a rhythm of breathing the same way I'm in a rhythm of breathing when swimming. So let's say I'm swimming freestyle, I got my flutter kicks going, I got my arms pulling, and I'm breathing like every four strokes. Sometimes I'll breathe on both sides, so I'll go an odd number, say every 3 to 5 strokes. So I get in a breathing rhythm. You want to do the same thing when you run, because the last thing you want to do is be huffing and puffing, hyperventilating, you know, just breathing like that. That is not going to do it for you. What you have to do is breathe, inhale for like 2 to 3 steps, exhale for 2 to 3 steps. And I say that with a range because it's going to depend on how fast you're going. You're going to want to inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. You may even find that you can exhale faster than you can inhale because it's going out the bigger orifice. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways to do it. I think you need to find out what gets comfortable for you and see how that works for you. But that's how I do it. Yeah. And, you know, and if you're having a hard time with that, you're just not in running shape. Same for swimming. If you're having a hard time with swimming, you're probably not in swimming shape, or you're swimming with poor technique. How thick are wetsuits at Buds? How to run while wearing a wetsuit? You're not going to run much wearing a wetsuit. I mean, you may bear crawl and do a lot of push-ups in a wetsuit at Buds, but you're not going to run wearing a wetsuit. I don't recommend it. But you know, that's a good question. I'm not quite sure. Might be 5 millimeter, 3 to 5 millimeter, 1/4 inch. I couldn't tell you. I don't remember, to be honest with you. I'll ask my guys though, see what they say. How do I gain muscle and build endurance for running and rucking at the same time? You can do that, definitely. Once again, you got to eat to gain muscle. Can't be burning too many calories. You're going to just run your ass off, literally. But yeah, it really depends. If you want to be big, you got to eat big. Rucking is like strength training. You will build muscles in your legs and butt and back, which are some of the biggest muscles of your body. So you will see some weight gain by developing those muscles of rucking. So it's not so much how, you just go do it and eat big. You'll do it. All right, let's see what else we got. Military mindset, life's lessons, or just a good book of any genre, any book recommendations? Good question. Let's see what I have back here. I personally tend to read more physiology books. That's just what I like to do. So, and business books. I read some business books too. As far as military, probably one of the better books I read recently was Admiral Stavridis' book on leadership, called Sailing True North. Basically breaks down all these great leaders over the millennia. He picks about a dozen of them and discusses their career, their personal life, their attitudes, their behavior. You know, sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad, sometimes it was all work, no play, sometimes it was all play, very little work, but still got stuff done. Very interesting, all the different personalities that became, you know, some of the more popular admirals, generals, leaders in the world sailing true north. I thought that was a very interesting one. But yeah, that's what one I go with first right now. Let's see. Oh, here's some answers. Never quit. Jimmy Settle, Alone at Dawn. Both Goggins books. Yeah, Goggins books. Yeah, that's a good one as well. Yeah, I like those. Jocko books. I like Jocko and Leaf's extreme leadership or extreme. Damn, what is it? Extreme ownership. Yeah, extreme ownership. Listen to that one in the car. I can't say I read it, but I listened to it. Let's see. Oh yeah, anything by Dick Couch. Damn, I don't know. I was drawing a blank there. Yeah, I've read all of Dick Couch's books. I love those. Those are some of my favorites. Just because there's a couple of fictional ones in there. Most of them are documentary types. Dick Couch is a former SEAL that really does a lot of research into the training. He's done them on Rangers, SF. Chosen was one of them for the SF. They did one on the Rangers, Class 234 documentary. He took them from Buds day one through SQT and into the teams. Really cool. Really anything by Dick Couch. Yeah. Thanks, Tom, for reminding me that one. I was drawing a blank. I moved my bookcase to the other side of the room, and I usually have all those books sitting right behind me. I can remember. But yeah, Dick Couch, classics. What should I eat after a workout? I read that your body makes HGH naturally and cuts it off. You know, you're getting really deep into it. You know, just eat what you like. You know, high protein, good carbs, some fat, and just eat. You know, I personally, after working out, I will have a big salad, a couple pieces of fruit, just because I need that replacement of carbohydrates and glycogen that goes back into those muscles for the next workout. Because you got to think about whenever you eat, you are eating to prepare for the next workout or to recover from the previous workout. So think about that whenever you eat. And that may help you make better food choices because you need carbs to rebuild that glycogen storage in your muscles and in your liver. And you also need protein and amino acids in protein to help you recover from the effects of that previous workout. Repair those muscles. You need fats and omega-3s just to be, you know, help you with the inflammation of previous workouts. So, you know, I have not read Fearless by Adam Brown, but I've heard it was really good. Yeah. You're probably too young to be worrying about your insulin and HGH right now. Just fruits, vegetables, meats, good fats. You know, but go ask a nutritionist about that. Tips on learning, breathing, swimming. There are no tips. You need to get in the water and figure out what breathing rhythm works best for you. Right? I usually, if I'm doing the CSS, I start exhaling at the kick. And then as I finish exhaling, I am turning to do my inhale. If I'm doing freestyle, just constantly exhaling while my face is in the water, when I need to breathe, boop, pull that arm and turn my head with it, and I breathe. Just keep practicing it. It'll click for you. But if it doesn't feel like it's a nice rhythm, you're doing it wrong, right? If you feel like you're turning, you got to pop your head up to breathe, your timing's off. And you're not doing it right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, read Will Chesney's book, No Ordinary Dog 2. In fact, had him on our podcast whenever he got out of the military. Okay, so this question was, my fault it cut me off before asking, should you be crushing PFTs before talking to a recruiter? That is my number one piece of advice, because I cannot explain to you guys how many people text me, DM me, email me, and they say, hey, Stu, I'm in the late entry program, can't pass my PST. I ship in 3 weeks. You know, what can I do between now and then so I can get an SO contract? Well, what you could have done was not talk to a recruiter until you crush that PST, show up, crush that PST on day one, and get your contract. Right now, when you go talk to a recruiter before you're crushing anything, and like, let's just say you've never even taken a PST like many people, you are now on the recruiter's timeline. It is going to be very unlikely that you do two things in that timeline. One, pass the PST. You might, by the end of that delayed entry program, pass that PST and get a contract. But you probably have done nothing to prepare yourself to get through BUDS or that next training that you had to take that fitness test for. So now you're going to be one of many people who go to BUDS that get to BUDS, but they don't get through BUDS because you didn't spend any time prior to talking to a recruiter actually swimming with fins and actually doing 4 mile timed runs and actually rucking to prepare yourself for load bearing of boats and logs or lifting if you're a skinny kid, right? You might need some strength. So there's a lot to this, and you just can't. You can't think, and here's the problem with most 18-year-olds, right? They maybe played a few sports in high school, and what they do to get in football shape for fall. Well, they spent 3 months of summer getting in shape for football, and that's great. You can do that. You can't do it for spec ops training. It may take you a year to build up to become a good spec ops candidate. I've seen it, depending on the athlete, as little as 3 to 4 months, basically just needed how to learn how to swim because he could crush everything else. Depending on your abilities to be strong, crush cardio events, crush calisthenic events, your ability to swim, that could take well over a year. It personally took me about 18 months before I was considered an above average candidate for spec ops. And I played three sports in high school. All right. Sorry. Get a little rowdy sometimes. Let's see. Over here on Instagram's got some questions I'll get to. I got about 10 more minutes of this. I think I'm losing my voice, coming down with some kind of allergy, sore throat type thing. So I'm going to cut it short. What's a good time on Murph to strive for, with, without weight vest, strict pull-ups? You know what? I don't care what time you do a Murph. I would rather you see perfect reps on those exercises than timed crappy half squats and half pull-ups and push-ups. So I don't even time them. Now, typically, we usually get them done anywhere between 30 and 40 minutes, but I don't really time them. We also don't just do a Murph. We typically use the Murph as, to be honest with you, some form of warm-up, right? And yeah, we do the Murph, but then we'll go do a Devil's Mile, or we'll go run 5 miles, or we'll go swim a mile with fins, right? So it's just part of a workout. So I don't really time it as like, this is all I'm going to do. All right. All you guys answering each other's questions here. just makes me have to scroll a little bit more and read. Yeah. All right, here you go. A couple more questions. All right, so I know I'm not in swimming shape, and some of the workouts in the Navy PST book are long-distance swims with fins. Should I focus on getting in swimming shape before using fins? No, put on the fins. Give them a try. Make them small, though. You know, you don't have to jump right into the issued rocket fins or jet fins that you're going to be swimming with at Buds. Just get the slip-ons and build up to those, and you'll find that, you know, you'll be able to do a bunch of laps. You may just have to rest in between laps a little more than normal. But if you have to cut the mileage in half, that's fine too. Here's the deal. You know, when you do a workout like this, right? The Navy PST workout. This will help you crush the Navy PST. But guess what? It's not a personalized program. You may have to personalize it to fit your running progression, to fit your swimming ability. You may not be able to do all the reps yet, but just do what you can, right? Follow the plan, but do what you can. And then if you have to, you can do kind of like a secondary exercise to get all the reps. Maybe do assisted pull-ups or pull-downs to finish the pull-up reps, or do a lighter bench press if you can't do all the push-ups, or do knee push-ups, whatever. And maybe turn, let's say at the end of the week, it's 10 miles more than you normally run. Well, instead of doing that 10 miles out of nowhere, maybe replace those 10 extra miles with every, I would say, you know, 8 to 10 minutes of bicycling for every mile. So you can spread, you know, if you do 20 minutes of bicycling every day, you're going to get those extra 10 miles made up on time by doing a non-impact cardio activity in replace of it. So, you know, there's an article I wrote that talks about this, adjusting workouts to fit your ability, something like that. So it's called Adapting Programs to Your Fitness Level. That's it. So here, read that article. I just put it in the comments section over there at YouTube. But it's called Adapting Programs to Your Level of Performance and Still Reach Your Goals. Because like I said, that's not a personalized program. If you can do it and it fits you perfectly, great. That's what I tried to do for an intermediate level fitness guy. But, you know, if you say you're a great runner and you want to add 10 miles of running, add 10 miles of running. But don't do it if you're not a great runner. In fact, you may want to even, if you're killing the swim and you're a 6-minute swimmer, you know, you may not need to do all the swim time. Maybe focus on something else. You know, focus on a different weakness instead of doubling down on your strength and neglecting a weakness. 1 week out from a pulled hamstring, any tips on easing back into running and swimming? Also stretching, should I stretch through the pain if it is healed? You know, that's a good question. I would talk to a physical therapist about it, because every time I pulled something, let's say it was an Achilles or a hamstring or something else, I injured it by stretching it somehow. You know, doing that stretch reflex somehow injured. Like if I was sprinting, you know, I pulled a hamstring because it literally stretched and pulled. Same for an Achilles. I was jumping, hit that ground hard, exploded up. Achilles gets tight. The last thing you want to do is really stretch it again. Let it heal. Maybe work on some compression. Maybe take some anti-inflammatories if it's swollen for pain too. But, you know, don't stretch it. But, you know, another thing is talk to a physical therapist, because they're probably going to tell you a better solution for when you can start running and swimming. I have found this, though. With a hamstring, as long as I'm not sprinting, I can still jog. Unless it's really bad and you got like discoloration and it's bleeding in there, you're probably going to need a month or more off of running altogether, and don't stretch it because it's just really overstretched. Just let it heal. And then you're going to have to slowly build back into stretching, but you don't want to do it too much. I'd probably do some dynamic stretching first, just movement, and save the static stretching for once you're feeling like you're able to run and not be in pain. But like I said, talk to a physical therapist on that one, because you know there may be a combination between compression, sleeves, and massage that allow you to get some things done. Let's see, a couple more. Does the 50-50 really work like that? Absolutely. Besides, it's free. Give it a try. I have probably 20 guys on it at any one time, and every one of them are dropping their times by a minute. A couple of them are dropping their times by 2 minutes in about 4 to 5 weeks. I've seen one guy drop two minutes in 3 weeks once. But guess what he did? He did the 50-50 five times a week for 3 weeks. So 15 times, he went from 10 minutes to 8 minutes. That's what it took. Can't just do the 50-50 once a week and think it's going to work for you. It's a free workout. A lot of applicants who tell me they want to do spec war, I ask them what their swim and run time is and if they know how to do the CSS, and they can't answer the question. Absolutely. And this is from a Navy petty officer, I'm assuming a recruiter in that world. And I can't imagine the types of people you see coming in there saying they want to do some kind of spec ops job and not knowing what the process is to do the spec ops job, not knowing that there's a PST, not knowing that there's a special way to swim. You know, I can't imagine the size of the rock you're living under if that's what you want to do. And there's no excuse. I mean, this world is full of information, too much. Like, I would much rather somebody come say, hey, I heard this, I heard this, I heard this. Which one should I do? Right? That's a better question than saying, hey, you got any tips and tricks to get through buds? No, I don't. William, how many times are you going to ask about the 50-50? Jesus. All right, all you guys over at Instagram are answering each other's questions, so you guys keep that up over there. GT says, really appreciate what you do. I have to leave, but I tell all my candidates out there, go hit a half marathon or go swim for 3 hours psychologically. Alpha evolutions will be much easier. Yeah, that's not bad advice. If you only train 5 miles, the 4 miler on the beach will feel harder than you're used to clipping off 8 to 10 miles every so often. Yeah, to a degree with that. You know, 4 miler's not hard if you're used to running 7-minute miles, right? If you can run sub 7-minute miles for 4 miles, you're going to crush any 4 mile timed run that you have at Bud's. You know, and it's usually hard packed sand anyway, so it's like, you're running on some kind of running on some kind of track almost out there. Now there may be a day where it's not necessarily the hardest packed sand. That's just part of the game. You know, you got to get through it and learn how to do it. But yeah, you got to run. You know, some people say it's a running man's game. I'm one of those people. And I will say that It is also a lifted man's game for the first 5 weeks, because if you don't have some element of strength underneath you, you will definitely get crushed under boats, logs, and rucks and fireman carries that you'll be doing. So it's a combination. I mean, the cool thing about any spec ops training is that it's going to require you to be strong, but have endurance. It's going to require you to have some high rep muscle stamina, as well as flexibility and mobility, right? And agility, right? So all of these things that are often not in a single athlete, like let's look at the football player, power, strength, speed, agility. That's what they need. They don't really need a whole lot of endurance. Sure, it's four quarters of a football game, need some endurance, but they're not running 5 miles as part of their training. You know, the endurance athletes need some strength. You know, so if you're neglecting one of those elements of fitness, chances are that will be a weakness for you, and that will be exposed within the first few days of spec ops training. May even be exposed during prep, because there are people that don't make it through prep, you know, spec ops prep. William, quit talking. Jesus, blowing up my Instagram, making me scroll more. In the Air Force Special Warfare Program, there's a link for supplemental push-ups, but it's for the two-week boost that you advocate to do once within 6 month period because of the volume, I assume. Yes. In fact, let me put it here, because that was a confusing question. So if you look up this article that I wrote called Free 2 Week Protocol for Pull-Ups, Push-Ups, and Now Sit-Ups, I'll put it in the comment section here in there. I have not tested it to do more than once every 6 months. So, you know, some people have tried it for back-to-back 2 week sessions, and they wound up improving in those first 2 weeks, and then they went negative on the second 2 weeks. It's just too much volume and not enough recovery. Now, you can use the overload principle for about 10 days with this method. That I know. And then take 3 days off and test on day 14. That's the whole gist of this process. And I know that works. The reason why I say don't do it within every 6 months is just because I doubt you need to do it again. Honest with you. In fact, once you do it, you need to get into a regular calisthenics and cardio or lifting cycle where you are, you know, doing those exercises 2 to 3 times a week to maintain, and you might even improve too, depending on what you're doing. All right, a few more questions and I got to bail. How can I plug in more push-ups effectively or just get upper body endurance higher? I would say, you know, everybody has an upper body day. That's a great day to add in more push-ups. Every hour, drop down, do 25. You know, at the end of the day, you've added another 300 push-ups. So give that a shot. All right, folks. I see Ray Kerr over there. What's up, Ray? Good fella. All right, here's the last question. We're going to end on this one. Have you ever seen a quitter turn themselves around and accomplish selection? I've seen some stand-up guys fail and wish they knew they could actually get back on the horse. Absolutely. I mean, there are more SEALs probably that I know. Yeah, maybe not. But I know so many SEALs that did it their second time that they didn't do it their first time. 9 times out of 10, they were 18 years old, went in there unprepared, and then they figured out what their weaknesses were, went back 2-3 years later, crushed it. I can't tell you how many people I've seen do that. It is absolutely 100% very possible. Now, it's difficult to get back these days just because things have to be perfect with your year group, the job you have that's going to let you go. You got to be an excellent performer before Spec War wants you. So, you know, a lot of things have to be in place for you to get back. But absolutely, yes. Yes to that question. All right, guys. I got to roll. I appreciate your time. You guys, check out StuSmithFitness.com if you got any questions. There's tons of articles over there and programs as well. In fact, you can use the Live15 coupon code, save 15%. If you're interested in getting anything over there at StuSmithFitness.com. So I appreciate your time. I will be back tomorrow. I won't be back tomorrow over on Instagram because I do some sharing of my screen of CSS critique. So you guys on Instagram, if you want to check it out tomorrow, I'm doing a CSS critique show where I take videos and just show people what they're doing right and wrong. All right, guys, I will see you tomorrow. Have a good one.